Cap and Horn, CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com. I'm David Hall, back from a vacation. Apologize for the technical difficulties. It was all my fault. I guess that's what happens when you leave for a week.
Is this karma? Did you do something wrong in the Cayman Islands?
Definitely.
There?
That's probably what I deserve for taking a week off. Mark Carman in for the Cap Man. Dave Kaplan on vacation this week. He will be back next Monday. And Karma's going to be sitting in all week. So thank you for being here, and thank you for filling in last week. From what I hear, a stellar job.
Thank you for the opportunity, and we had fun last week. You got a little tan there.
Do a little tan?
You got
a little cap tan going?
You're a little bronze. You're bronzed. You look good. I like it.
Thank you. Thank you, Karma. It's good to be back. It's good to be here, even though walk out the door this morning and you feel like it's 6:30 going on midnight.
Well,
crazy weather. Crazy, crazy day in the city. Be safe. The worst may be coming. You don't know. I'm not Tom Skilling, but I'm sure that he would warn you. The thunderstorms are on the way. The airport at O'Hare, I think, had a ground stop. It's serious stuff. Take care of yourself, and hopefully it will pass quickly. Mike Jacobson is our executive producer. Matt Rooney, associate producer. And Pat Costell, our director, keeping things going. And we have a lot to talk about today because there was a lot going on, not only last week, but over the weekend especially. First of all, we'll start with Cubs and Sox.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into a little Patrick Sharp. But I think you start with the baseball because this is the All-Star break. The Sox go into Wrigley Field. They do what they had to do. They take two out of three. They meatloaf the Cubs. They take two out of three. And both teams go into the All-Star break feeling pretty good about themselves. Not as good as maybe they would have liked at the beginning of the year if you're the White Sox. Better than you thought you would feel if you're the Cubs. The only thing that I fear, Carm, is that – not fear, that's way too strong. The thing that I sense is that Sox fans are looking at this recent run in which they have gone – what have they – they're heading to the All-Star break, four of the last five, nine of the last 12. Really the best team in the American League since June 20th. Congratulations. But you are still in last place.
You are.
And you do not want to overstate – what this last little run before the All-Star break means. What does it mean if you're a Sox fan? 312-235-2525.
I look at it, it's painful for me from a Sox fan standpoint that you've got arguably the best pitcher in the game or certainly in the top five, top three, wherever you want to put him, Chris Sale. You've got a rotation behind him. Samardzija's been pitching great as of late. Quintana, another hard luck loss yesterday, tough luck loss. And has pitched well, and then you got Rodon, so you've got this great rotation, yet you can't hit the baseball. But the other teams that can't hit the baseball, two of them are bordering the playoffs, in the Mets and the Cubs. So this team should be better than where they are. And it would, if I was Rick Hahn, I wouldn't want to punt right now. I'd still want to play out. I'd like to play to the deadline. I know that you're...
Well,
yes.
I think that you have to look at the calendar and you realize it's July 13th. You do not have to decide today.
Right.
It's like everyone always says, well, if the season ended tomorrow, it doesn't. It doesn't. If the trade deadline were today, it isn't. You have a deadline that you can respect and that you don't have to make a decision until the deadline. So as you near that, you keep your ears open. You explore options. You think about what is best for the team long term. But you don't have to decide yet whether you're a buyer or a seller. You have done a nice job in giving yourself some options you maybe didn't have a couple weeks ago. That's the big picture issue with the White Sox. The smaller one is that Chris Sale is in Cincinnati, along with Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant for the All-Star game. Tomorrow night, the Cubs Brews brothers will be in the Home Run Derby tonight. Chris Sale said yesterday, I think he's responding yesterday to Kip Lewis on CSN Chicago, that you know he would like to pitch, said it without saying it directly. Robin Ventura doesn't want him to pitch. You understand that to a point. It's an All-Star game. It's a commercial for White Sox baseball. You have the best pitcher in the American League. Why would you not want to see him if you're a Sox fan? Why is this even a debate every time? If the All-Star game matters, you want the best guy on the mound that you could possibly have.
You don't live in the world of the fear of hurt? Because that's where I live. Chris Sale's
then don't cross the street. What are you doing here? You should have done the show from your bed.
I looked both ways. There's no real if I'm a White Sox fan, am I going to get, oh my God, Chris Sale's on the mound in Cincinnati. Look, we're being represented. I feel so good about myself. This is our guy. I mean, do people really feel that way? I guess you feel it a little bit. But don't you feel better? Chris Sale's in bed. He's getting a nice elbow rub.
You know, if you're a Sox fan, I think that you want to see the All-Star game include your favorite pitcher. I think that you want America to see how good you know your favorite pitcher is. It's a showcase for baseball. How can you have a showcase for baseball and have the best pitcher in the National League, in the American League, and one of the best in all of baseball in bubble wrap? What are we?
But Robin Ventura is not alone in his desire to not have his pitcher out.
Doesn't make it right. All these managers are paranoid. They got the Derrick Rose thing. Like, okay, we're going to be really afraid to cross the street because we might get hit by a bus. I don't understand that. The whole thing too with the, well, you know, if Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant go to the home run derby, they might mess up their swing. Mm-hmm. In one day?
It's happened. People have come out of that home run derby.
Give me examples. I know Jose Abreu last year. You're going to say.
I think there's a bunch of names.
Sounds like an excuse. You forget how to hit in one day.
Well, they change their swing. They try to hit the ball out every time. I mean, Rizzo's comments last week, listen, there's a round in BP. We always try to take it deep. You know what? You're actually moving me towards your side. You can't live in fear. It's a bad way to go about your life. If something's going to happen, it's going to happen. You might as well, you know.
If you didn't want him to pitch on Tuesday, you should have pitched him Sunday. You had that in your control. The Nationals did not want Max Scherzer to pitch in the All-Star game. So what did they do? They pitched him Sunday. You could have finagled your rotation if you really wanted to eliminate that possibility. But now that it's a possibility, do you really think that Chris Sale's season is going to be determined by the 25 pitches he throws on Tuesday night in the All-Star game?
99% no. But there is that 1% that's out there that somehow, some way, it alters his routine and he tweaks something. Next thing you know, he's on the DL and you're in an altered situation. It's not like it hasn't happened to him before. He has been hurt. But here, let me ask you this question. If they canceled the All-Star game today, right? Players don't want to play or manage. Organizations got way too much money invested now in these guys. They don't want them there. Baseball is healthy as it is. We don't need the showcase. Would you be upset if the All-Star game just didn't exist?
No.
You wouldn't, right?
No, right.
And neither would I.
Right.
I think like most fans, I mean.
But it does count.
Which is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but it does count. And a 312 texter corrects me, Bobby Abreu. I said Jose Abreu. I did a local example. I had the local example. I had the White Sox on my brain. They're in my heart. You know that.
It's okay.
You know I'm a Sox fan.
It's okay.
So they say.
You're entitled.
Okay, so we will get to the whole debate. The Chris Sale, does he pitch? Should he pitch? Shouldn't he pitch? You know, if Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo, if you're afraid of them, you know, ruining their swing and their uppercut swing.
Joe Madden is
one tonight. Joe Madden's going to watch. He understands. He gets it.
Oh, he gets it. He gets it. He'll watch.
We'll talk about that. I also think that we have to be fair, and maybe you did it last week, but when Robin Ventura was managing a team that was headed nowhere, we were very critical. I think, you know, Cap more than once repeated himself about wanting Robin gone. I think that I said early in May that was the time, if you're going to change managers, change managers. They didn't change managers. They stayed the course. And since the Kenny Williams, you know, I'm in charge. Rick Hahn does his job, but he hasn't graduated to the level yet that I have to take the calls from the chairman. Since that, you know, kind of in Detroit, he talked to Sully, who will be here at 9:40 in studio to talk about the Cubs Sox series. The White Sox have been a very good team. And if we're going to criticize Robin Ventura for what he didn't do to get them to the point where they were languishing throughout most of this season, you have to give him credit for believing in his guys to whatever degree that mattered, to whatever degree that affected them in the last 3 weeks or so. Credit to Robin Ventura for staying the course and getting the Sox in a position to where they feel like they can be competitive the rest of the way.
Well, the biggest knock on Ventura, right, is that he's laid back and he's, you know, he's just falling asleep in the dugout, right? Well, you watch the White Sox players during this stretch and even before then, the energy's never left that club. They're very much engaged. And they're celebrating. They were celebrating wins when Avi's scaling the wall, bringing back a home run. He's jumping up, and there's a lot of excitement. And that was, you know, before really they went on this sort of extended 9 of 12 streak. So there's been no give up over there. They just have been bad. And to put that on at Ventura because they can't hit or pick up a ground ball, it just doesn't seem fair. And I've never been a huge fan of Robbins. I like a little fiery
right.
Joe Maddon. But yeah. I think the reality is
he's got the Joe Maddon stubble going. You see that yesterday?
He does have that.
He does. Yeah. We'll talk about some Cubs issues, what to do with Kyle Schwarber, Jake Arrieta not going to the All-Star game, also looking like he's sporting some guns and post-game yesterday. Guy looks like he's on some sort of weightlifting regimen. He's taking care of himself. I like a Jake Arrieta.
Does a Pilates.
Speaking of handsome men.
Yeah.
Patrick Sharp on his way out.
Oof.
Want to talk about that. That happened Friday night. The inevitable arrived Friday night with the news that Patrick Sharp is now a star. Capital S. But he's a Dallas star. Players coming back from return. Blah, blah, and blah, blah. I mean, they're just names right now, but we'll see how Trevor Daly and I have to look up the other guy now.
Ryan Garbutt. The Garbutski.
Stan Bowman is collecting agitators. He could sit next to Andrew DeJardin and Andrew Shaw, and right between Daniel Carcillo on the back. He's collecting agitators. How many agitators does one team need?
I don't know, but agitators are good.
So
I like an agitator.
We will talk about the Patrick Sharp trade. We'll break that down. Eddie Olczyk is going to join us, Carm, at 9:25. Sully in studio, 9:40 to 10:10, talking baseball with Paul Sullivan from the Tribune. You guys lined this up last week when I was gone, but Buzz Williams is going to talk about Jimmy Butler. He's going to join us at 10:25, former coach at Marquette, now the coach of Virginia Tech. And Mark Lazarus, Laz, who is on the Blackhawks beat that never dies from the Sun-Times, will join us at 10:55. Also, we have to work in why Aaron Cromer does not like children, apparently, and why that who's had a worse offseason? Which ex-Bear employee has had a worse offseason? Ray McDonald or Aaron Cromer? Discuss.
That is a scary, scary, terrible story, Aaron Cromer. Poor Aaron Cromer.
Mark Carman in for the Catman. Cap and Haw back on CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com.
Now, more Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
Got him on a slider, 92 miles an hour. Cubs win. A complete game, two hitters for Jake Arrieta. What a gem.
His stuff is definitely in the elite level of all major league pitchers. There's no question. He's arriving there as he continues to understand everything that he's got at his disposal, the weapons he has. That's when he's really going to take off. Strike thrower today, curveball is ridiculously one of the best, maybe the best from the right side. The slider, you saw that. I mean, it's just really, really well done. Hits homers. Hits homers.
Does a little bit of everything. First voice you heard was Len Casper. Thank you to ABC7 for the highlight yesterday from the Cubs-Sox game. Second voice is Joe Maddon talking about his guy, Jake Arrieta, who did a little bit of everything yesterday. Pitching was outstanding. Mark Carman in for the Catman. Cap and Haw, CSN Chicago, and WGNplus.com. That's the one thing, that Carm, that stood out to me, I think to everybody. Yeah, there was less scoring. It was like watching a soccer tournament. It was like watching a World Cup soccer. The scoring was at such a minimum that you thought that when you had two runs, you were going to win that game over the weekend.
Especially yesterday, Cubs get two after watching Arrieta in the top half of the first. Like, well, could that be enough? And it turns out that it was. And when the Sox scored on Saturday, well, the Cubs are going to score on Chris Sale? Probably not. And they were lucky to get one. And then Friday, Dan Bellino, I don't want to put it all on the umpire, but
all weekend, I didn't watch every pitch. I did not watch every pitch. But I have to tell you, WGN, you can watch. I watched the game on Friday. And when I was, traveling, and the umpiring from Friday through yesterday, I thought the strike zone was inconsistent. It was wide. It was all over the place. And I couldn't figure out why.
You didn't know what to expect. I didn't get it either, especially when these guys can't hit. You would think maybe they would be a little more, I don't know, ardent with what the actual strike is. Friday was like Texas. You had up here, you had wide out there, you had down here. It was unbelievable. And I'm looking at him like, and one pitch started out 3 feet outside, landed basically, just at the shoe tops. Yeah! Strike three.
A lot of chirping from players. 312-235-2525. Let me ask you this. When you look at both teams heading into the second half, based on what you saw over the weekend, based on what you've seen the last couple weeks, which starting rotation would you rather have?
Oh, the White Sox.
Okay, you say that, but...
Yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah, because Sale, obviously. Samardzija, is he pitching? Is this sustainable? Because we've seen this before. We have been teased by the talent of Jeff Samardzija before. Carlos Rodon, rookie, liked what you saw on Friday. Really like what you've seen at times. But he's still a rookie and he's still somewhat wild. Quintana yesterday, kind of what you get. No run support, pretty steady. He'll keep you in the games. The fifth starter, forget about it. You don't even have anybody you can count on. Where the Cubs, you got Kyle Hendricks coming on. You've got Jake Arrieta that's throwing elite stuff, as Joe Maddon said, who's as much of an ace as any team has been on their team. And you've got Lester, who does not have the numbers to support it, but you still have John Lester. And then, yeah, you know, I don't know that it's as clear-cut as you're making it sound.
No, well, the reason why I feel so confident in saying it's just because Chris Sale is Chris Sale. And
Jason Hamill, too, I didn't even mention.
You did not mention Hamill. But Sale, listen, I'm willing to concede that Jake Arrieta may be this good, but he doesn't have the body of work at Chris Sale.
20-10 as a Cub.
The guy's unbelievable. 4-0 in his last five starts, 39 2/3 innings, giving up 21 hits.
And the beard. He's got the beard.
And
the beard is alone gives him a little bit of an edge.
Right, and the way he walks up the mound.
And he wears this. Who wears those sleeveless tanks anymore?
The guy does 17 different exercises. I mean, he's doing Pilates, he's doing yoga, all he eats is kale. I think he's built to stay. But still, number one, if you had a one-game wild card, which is the best.
Well, that's not what I asked. If I have a one-game wild card, I want Chris Sale every single day.
All right, well.
Single time.
Okay.
But, Carm, I'm saying you've got Arrieta, Hamill, Lester, and Hendricks versus Sale, Samardzija, Quintana, and Rodon. Okay, it's not as clear-cut as you're making it sound.
It's tight. It's fair. It's tight.
I think
still
the
White Sox
probably have a slight edge because their top two have maybe done it longer. Even though I say that, I cringe because Samardzija, to me, has been a big tease. So I don't know how much I trust the rest of the rotation after Chris Sale. If he could pitch every second day, terrific.
I guess the way I'm looking at it is if you get in the playoffs, which rotation would you rather have, which is not completely answering your question.
It's not answering my question
at
all.
It's not answering
your question. Because if you get in the playoffs, I want the Sox.
I'm answering my
own. Because I want Chris Sale.
I'm answering my own question over here.
You can't do that. I'm not Cap. You can't distract me that easily.
Your question for the rest of the regular season, it's a coin flip.
So look at this. So if you're a Sox fan and you wake up this morning and think, oh, okay, you lost on Sunday. You were going to sweep the Cubs. But you feel very good about where you are. You're 41-45. You're a Cubs fan, you're feeling, you know, about the same, but you're better than what you thought you would be.
I think Cubs fans are feeling great, but Sox fans aren't feeling that great considering where they thought they would be. But better than they did.
You're 41-45 and it could have been much worse. But still, consider this. Last year the wild card team got in, the Oakland A's, they snuck in. 88 victories. 88 victories was good enough in the National League too. So if you're the White Sox and you're sitting there at 41-45, realize this. People who have these playoff aspirations, when you look at that team, okay, you just said that earlier in the show. You said if you're Rick Hahn, you're looking at this and thinking, I'm going to make a run for it. Okay, consider this.
I'm not writing it off yet. Go ahead. Yeah.
You've got to play 6-18 baseball. You've got to go 47-29 the rest of the way to win 88 games.
It's a tall task, yes.
It's a tall task. Do you see a 6-18 winning percentage when you look at that roster, when you look at that lineup? They can't produce runs. Now, they've manufactured runs nicely at times over the weekend. They scored a run, was it Friday, without having a hit. They did some small ball. They produced things. They generated offense. But you cannot live off that. You can't make the playoffs that way.
No, but I don't think it's going to take 88 this year. You got a free-falling Astro who's now 7-over. So you're going to have them back at 500 along with the Rays, the Tigers, the Orioles, the Blue Jays, the Indians. I think 85 gets you there, David. An 85-77, you might get that second wild card.
I don't think 85 victories get you anything except for a pat on the back and congratulations for a nice second half. So if you're the Cubs, though, you're feeling a little bit more realistic because you're right around 540 right now, a winning percentage.
Right.
To get to 88 victories, you have to go 41-34. That's a 546 clip. That's, to me, much more attainable than anything the Sox are considering. So I tell you this, conclude with what we talked about earlier. If I'm the White Sox, I enjoy and appreciate the progress we've made in 3 weeks. We've responded to the call of Kenny Williams. We've responded to the urgency of the situation. We've beaten some good teams. You beat the Cardinals, took care of the Blue Jays to an extent, beat the Cubs, who were playing very well. But you're still got a long way to go, and I would not get carried away. I would not get carried away, and I would wait, and the deadline is my friend.
And every single game is a playoff game. That's why, as great as this weekend was for them, 2 of 3, they needed them all. They really did. They need to, if they're really going to build a case that they're going to compete, it's going to take another 9 to 10 out of the break. And they're playing the Royals, by the way, to start it off. Doubleheader.
Doubleheader on Friday.
Yeah.
And Chris Sale not pitching until Sunday, I believe.
That's how it's scheduled. And Sale, Ned Yost was on radio this morning saying that Sale is pitching. He's talked to Robin Ventura, so he's going to pitch one inning Tuesday night in Cincinnati.
He told Mike and Mike that Chris Sale will pitch one inning. I don't think that Ned Yost has anything in his mind like, boy, if I pitch him one inning, he's going to be really tired for us this weekend. Do you think that?
No, but it's interesting that he felt the need that he had to call Robin Ventura because Ventura didn't want him pitching.
Sox fans are going to sleep okay knowing that Chris Sale is actually going to pitch one inning and actually represent their ball club the way it should be represented at the All-Star Game, America's Showcase.
I think if they're listening to you, David Haw, right now they're feeling damn right we are. Right. I can't wait to see our guy out there.
9 a.m. hour is sponsored by Apt Electronics. Mark Carman is in for the Catman, who is somewhere in Italy tweeting. And I'm David Haw, back from vacation. Cap and Haw, see us in Chicago, WGNplus.com. When we come back, the great Eddie Olczyk talking about the Patrick Sharp trade.
Olczyk got to it. Olczyk busting at center ice, comes over the line, shooting. He scores! Olczyk! A shorthanded goal! He just blew right through the defense at center. Coffey couldn't even catch him. Fired it by Fuhr on the sixth side.
For all you young hockey players out there, this is Eddie Olczyk. Don't do what Cap's doing right now, but kidding aside, you're listening to Cap and Haw.
Cap and Haw, see us in Chicago on WGNplus.com. Mark Carman is in for the Cap Man, who is off this week. He will be back on Monday. I'm David Haw, back from a week off. And we are pleased to bring in Eddie Olczyk, the great one, who is joining us, I think, from his vacation. We appreciate your time, Eddie. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, David, Carm, nice to be with you. And, yes, I am talking to you guys from beautiful Las Vegas, talking to you from the beautiful Red Rock Resort Casino and Hotel in Las Vegas, and a couple of days off before I get back into town for Blackhawks Youth Hockey Camp coming up. We got a couple of weeks coming up, so looking forward to that. And hope you guys are doing well. And probably more importantly, the Blackhawks are the favorites here at the Red Rock to win the Stanley Cup again next year. And the Bears are 5.5-point underdogs on opening day against the Packers.
Well, I'm surprised by both things because I thought the Bears would be bigger underdogs, and I'm also a little surprised based on the offseason moves that the Hawks would still maybe be the favorite, but maybe that's overreacting to the trades, Eddie. We do appreciate you joining us on your vacation.
Sure, no problem.
The Patrick Sharp trade, I think there was a sense of inevitability. I think even you pointed out a couple weeks ago that the Stars were interested early on. They get their guy. The Hawks get Trevor Daley and Ryan Garba in return. Who won that trade? Was it good? Was it one of those things that, as Stan Bowman referred to, a good old-fashioned hockey trade, or is this a straight salary dump?
Well, I think Stan's exactly right. I mean, you look at the two moves he's made. They've been hockey trades, and David, and we've talked a lot over the years. Those are hard to make. I mean, those are difficult to make in the salary cap era. And at the end of the day, I mean, you know, you have some flexibility when you get to this time of the summer because you can be over the cap, and you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of different formulas that go into it before the start of the opening roster on opening night. But I think that's exactly what we've seen. There's some money staying back on the Dallas deal with Ryan Garbutt, who I like that player a lot. I think he's a real good energy fourth line type of player. So. But at the end of the day, it is. I think Stan has made two really good hockey trades when you look at what was at stake and where the Blackhawks are as far as, in some salary cap, in salary cap jail, I guess is the term that a lot of hockey people use nowadays.
What do you think happens with Johnny Oduya, Edzo? Did you think that's a dunk?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure, Carm. I mean, well, I guess the first thing is that when I heard about the trade, the first thing I thought of is when I heard that the Hawks got Trevor Daley and Ryan Garbutt, the first thing that came into my mind was you get Daley, who is a similar type of player to Johnny Oduya. I don't believe as good defensively, a different player offensively, a much more skilled and polished offensive type of player. The first thing that I thought of is you get Daley and then you flip him and then you get that space or that money that it's going to be allocated to Daley and you move that over to Johnny Oduya and then, you know, the rest is history. That was the first thing that came to mind. So, I don't know what the plans are for the Hawks or, you know, what's thing that came into mind. But, you know, look, you know, you got two guys. Like I said, I like Ryan Garbutt. My great partner, the great Pat Foley, anytime that the Hawks had played Dallas and Ryan Garbutt was in a lineup, he was on a line with Dominic Roussel and Cody Eakin, who, you know, that line in Dallas was as effective as a third line that we've seen in the National Hockey League the last couple of years. And Ryan Garbutt has fallen out of favor in Dallas. And obviously, he was traded. But, you know, Trevor Daley's a puck mover, a good skater, can really play anywhere in your, you know, second to third pair. But at the end of the day, how does this affect Johnny Oduya, Carm? I'm really not sure, what other moves Stan may have and want to try to bring. If somehow you could solidify and get Johnny Oduya back, now all of a sudden, I mean, your defensive core is as good as it had been over the course of the last couple of years. When you can bring in a guy like Trevor Daley who would, you know, replace, it looks like, Michael Rosenthal in that number five spot, if indeed, you know, he sticks around and the Blackhawks are able to get Johnny Oduya in the mix. But, you know, there's still got to be some maneuverability because a guy like Johnny Oduya is probably going to get a couple of years for sure. And you got to think he's probably in that somewhere in that, you know, 3-8-ish range per year. As far as the salary cap number hit.
Joined by Eddie Olczyk, the Blackhawks TV analyst, also the face of NBC, the NHL and NBC. So Eddie, I think the Sabres also are interested in Oduya. You read some of those reports. It'd be really hard for me to imagine the Hawks being able to step up, but that would be a great scenario for them. I think I wanted to gauge your level of surprise that Steven Johns was involved in this deal because that was a young defenseman. You heard a lot about him. Of all the guys that were on the way up, you heard Steven Johns' name most often at the top of the list of guys that they were counting on. Does that illustrate, as I sort of wrote this morning, that was just how badly the Hawks needed to move Sharp salary, that they were coerced into including a guy like Johns in the deal with the Stars?
Edzo in Edzo Cell Hell.
We lost Eddie. Lost Eddie. Eddie, you there?
Eddie gone.
No, we lost Eddie. You have to call back. Reconnect with Eddie Olczyk in Las Vegas. Steven Johns was a name that I think caught some people off guard. Everybody expected Patrick Sharp to be dealt. Steven Johns was a guy that you thought in all of these moves, re-signing Rundblad, re-signing Trevor Van Riemsdyk, you understood that. But Steven Johns was the name of the prospect that you thought was most likely to make the jump.
Plus 30 at Rockford last year. That is an eye-popping number for Steven Johns. And the Blackhawks, what's interesting to me, though, you needed help last year with defensemen. And
well, he would have been part of the mix had he not been injured, I think, at the end of the season at Rockford. And I think that was a thing. If they deemed him NHL ready at that point, he was going to be entering the season probably part of the mix. And I think as I, you know, led Eddie down the road here, and I think we have reconnected with Eddie. They were in a position where he was ready to be included among that group.
I'm wondering if obviously Dallas wanted him, and they were maybe more happy in getting Johns and even getting Sharp. They're, well, we'll take Sharp if we can have this young defenseman who could, maybe they see him as a potential star. I guess they do. It just, I wonder how much maybe he wasn't Q's type of player, perhaps. Is that on?
I don't know. I don't know about that, Carm. I think that it was more, again, the Hawks had to move $5.9 million worth of Patrick Sharp's salary off the books.
Right.
That was something that was an offseason priority. And I think every team in the league knew that. So the teams that could fit Patrick Sharp's salary under their cap were in a position where they, I think they had leverage. And I think part of that leverage was demanding the prospect that you identified as being a guy you wanted. Steven Johns was probably at the top of that list of guys the Hawks did not want to part with. But really, I don't know what they could have done because the Stars had him. And they had him where they're in a position where the Hawks didn't want to be. They were not dealing from a position of strength.
Nope. Everybody knew they had to make a move. That's fair. It seems like they've done okay, though. I mean, really. End of the day, you're not okay. Look at Haw, not feeling the reconstructed Hawks roster.
I'm not saying that. I think that it's going to take a while to get used to. I think that there's a sense of confidence that is a reflex. There's a conditioned response to Hawks moves that trust Dan Bowman, everything's going to be fine, and I'll see you in May at the conference finals, right?
Well,
because that's what we have become used to. I don't, and I think that I'll get there. I think that everyone will understand that these are really good hockey players coming into town. But you're going to have to really pay close attention Friday at the Hawks convention when they introduce these guys. Because the names don't just trickle off the tongue. Nope. They don't just come naturally. You know, Anisimov. I don't even know if I'm saying that correctly right now. Yeah, I had to look up.
I call him Artem.
I had to look up Ryan Garbutt, you know, to spell it in my column this morning.
Garbutt.
It's not Garbutt. No. Don't tell me that.
No, it's Garbutt.
Okay. But Trevor Daley. I know these guys are good hockey players. I know the Hawks will find a way to assimilate them. But as I ended my column this morning, you take away Patrick Sharp, you start to dismantle the core, and he was part of the core. It's not going to be the same. It's not the same.
No, it's not. Aside from the Sharp part of just not being the same, you also gave up the young stud in Brandon Saad. Like, but let's not forget that. No one saw that coming.
How are you going to replace those two? So, like, with the Russian Patrick Kane, what gives you an idea? Guarantee? You are now in. You are now going down a road where you are not blindly. You are believing in the power of the Blackhawks' ability to evaluate talent.
Well.
And to acquire talent. You have reason to do that.
You do.
But it's not as easy as you're making it sound to just say, okay, like Eddie's in Vegas. He says the Hawks are still a favorite. Really?
Did he say the favorite or one
the
of
favorite.
The favorite?
They're the favorite, I think. They're the odds-on favorite to win the Cup next year.
Well, that's...
And I just think that you lose Saad, you lose Sharp, you lose two top six forwards... And you're going to lose Johnny Oduya, likely. I mean, I have a hard time seeing him coming back.
So do I.
So now, as long as you have Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, and Duncan Keith, you're going to have a chance to be in the mix, included on a list of contenders. But I just wonder, and no, 630, it's not that I don't like foreigners. I married a foreigner, okay? It sounds like Haw doesn't like foreigners. That's not it at all.
Yeah, where's your wife from again?
Scotland.
Okay, that would be a foreigner.
Yeah, she's a citizen now.
Not only does Haw like foreigners, he perhaps loves them.
Exactly. Perhaps. You know something?
Well,
doubting me?
You haven't told the story yet, but you had a little bit of an interesting plane ride back. That sometimes that love, I'm sure it's still there at all. Strong.
No, it's there. It's there. Okay, you open that door. We can't get Eddie back. I'll tell it. So I'm flying back. And I did not write for a week.
The life of David Haw.
We find out Friday night that Patrick Sharp gets traded. Mm-hmm. Ruined my son's night. We knew it was coming, but he's a Hawks fan, right? So you get this in your head. You get this, and we're flying back. And I hadn't worked all week. I'm not Cap. I'm not tweeting every move that I make on my vacation. God bless him. Everyone needs guys like Cap. But I'm not sending you pictures from my vacation.
We're having a great time.
The world can wait to see what I look like on a paddleboard, okay? So.
I would have liked to have seen a couple of those photos. Go ahead.
We'll talk about that later. So I'm on the plane, and I'm thinking, okay, I got 4 hours, 4 hours, 4 hours. And I wanted to write about Patrick Sharp because I think that what I wrote today was something that I wanted to write. And so I start, but I didn't want to get I had brought one computer, my son's on the computer, and my wife did not really want me to work all week.
This was a get away from your workaholic life. You'd stop with
so
the radio.
So I get out my phone, and my son, the 15-year-old, sits behind us because it's an open flight. He's sitting behind us because he's the one sitting next to his parents. And then, so I start on my phone, and I start typing away. And I start typing the column that you read this morning in the Chicago Tribune. And I'm thinking I'm doing this very, kind of
without sounding
slyly.
Like David Haas, promotion manager. It's a great piece today. Fantastic. Thank you. Really good.
So I'm thinking I'm doing all this. I've got like, you know, four paragraphs in, and my son is peeking and reading every word that I'm typing on my phone. And he taps my wife on the shoulder and says, "Hey, Dad's writing a column on his phone. Busted." Well, so I then get reprimanded by my wife.
Well, so there's so many angles on that. Why your son felt the need to rat out Dad.
He's 15.
To mom.
You should meet my son. You wouldn't find it all that surprising.
This is
we have now reestablished contact with Eddie Olczyk. Sorry, Eddie, about the mix-up. I'm glad you're in a better cell zone.
Sorry, boys. I must have been my turn for the dice, I guess. I don't know.
That's okay. Well, in the short time we have remaining, we were talking about Stephen Johns and why the Hawks had to include him in this deal. Your level of surprise.
Bum,
bum, bum, bum.
Eddie, we're sorry. We're going to have to – we don't have you. We still don't have you. Well, we will have to
– If I could paraphrase what Edzo was thinking there, it was that he was surprised and he'll miss Stephen Johns, but sometimes you have to make these moves to get under the cap and move forward.
So what you're saying is that he would not throw a tremendous on the move.
No. Right. I don't think you'd get a tremendous. Great effort by Edzo.
It was a great effort.
I feel like the guy really just went a mile to get to a better cell. It didn't happen.
Well, we couldn't hear him, and then I pulled the plug on him, and I hit the wrong button. That'll happen. So you get me all flustered thinking I was getting away with writing a column, and my wife wouldn't see me, and I told that story.
Well, I'm a little worried on your workaholicness now.
I'm not a workaholic.
You're not?
No, I was on a plane for 4 hours.
No.
Look, the Bill Parcells book was good, but it wasn't that good.
No.
I was reading it all week.
I'm not saying you were being a workaholic on the plane, but previous to the plane, normal David Hall life, are you perhaps working too hard? Do you need to get more enjoyment in your life? Sully's coming up next. He can talk to you about some enjoyment, I'm pretty sure.
This is really interesting. I have to think about that. If you've been talking to my wife.
I have not. Okay. I would. If your wife walked in right now, I would not know it was her. That's not it.
Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curve 4K Ultra HD TV at Apt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into Apt today to see the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them at 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience. Shop Apt. Pleasing people since 1936. We will talk to the aforementioned Paul Sullivan from the Tribune. We'll have a great connection with him. He's in the building, and he will be in studio next. Cap and Haw, Mark Carman in for the Capman on CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com.
It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
Arrieta.
Oh, there you go.
Punts one to deep left. An 0-2 offering, his first career home run.
Wow, having a day on the mound and a day at bat.
I would have liked to hit the first one knowing it was a homer instead of having to sprint to first. But yeah, I mean that was cool. For the first one, it was cool to do it at home during a day game right before the break, and finish the whole game. Special day.
That was the voice of Jake Arrieta, Cubs pitcher and home run hitter. He's not in the Derby tonight, but he would like to be. Cap and Haw, CSN Chicago, and WGNplus.com. Mark Carman in for the Catman. Voice before that was Len Casper, the highlight courtesy of ABC7 yesterday. And hard to keep track of where the Cubs are on any given day, but yesterday was ABC7. I enjoyed the pregame show with Mark Jean Greco. Paul Sullivan, Tribune's baseball writer, is in studio. Sully, good to see you. Yeah, it was good. It was good. And
off the grid, actually.
Off the grid.
Wow, that's hard.
I apologize for not tweeting during
that's
my
good.
Vacation.
I laud you for that. That's tough to do. Did you even look at your phone?
It wasn't that tough to do. Huh? No, I mean I don't have this urge to share everything that I experience on a vacation
with
like the world. Cap. Yeah.
But did you look at your phone?
Yes.
Yeah. That would be hard.
You know, it's hard not to. Yeah. Number one, because you just become so conditioned. Yeah. I don't think that I was looking at my phone for the same reasons that I look at my phone today. Yeah. You know, I was not like, okay, what's going on? Is Chris Sale going to pitch one inning or whatever? It was for different reasons. It was, you know, directions here. Or, oh, there's Twitter. Oh, that's interesting that the Clippers have held DeAndre Jordan hostage in his own home. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's hard to remember what it was like before these things.
It really is. It just, you don't have a good sense of that. So, and, you know, basically, if I didn't look at my phone while my wife and my son were looking at their phones, I would have been ignored more than I would have felt like I would have been conscious of the fact they were ignoring me. Now it made me feel better. At least I had something to do while they were ignoring me.
Back in the day, you guys were sitting at games and you had your phone at the press box. That was the only way to get a hold of you.
Yeah, the rotary line.
See?
Yeah.
See, it was a whole nother world.
You'd get the call in the press box.
Sorry.
Call for Paul Sullivan. That you could hear it over TV. And it was really cool.
And I love filing stories on the old Tandy radio shacks.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah,
those
were
the
days.
But
so anyway, okay, so the weekend series, that was. I enjoyed what you wrote on every day. You did a great job covering it. I think that on Sunday, though, you have been one who has been really, I think, level-headed throughout this whole White Sox dilemma, what to do with Robin Ventura. You didn't overreact to the Kenny Williams comments, like, you know, it's like some of us interpreted those as sort of a slap, you know, to Rick Hahn or a slight to Rick Hahn. You've been pretty consistent with Robin, you know, not overreacting to what they should do with him. You gave him credit for staying the course, believing in his guys. How should a Sox fan feel now going into this All-Star break, 41-45, you know, the best team in the American League since June 20th. How much of that credit is, I think, do you put at the feet of a Robin Ventura?
I don't know how much credit goes to him. I mean, obviously the pitching has carried this team since then and basically, you know, kept them from really going under the whole season. But, you know, there is something to say about just not panicking, and he's not a panicky guy, and I think that players see that in him, and they never panicked. It was unbelievable to think that the whole team, that every guy that he got, that Rick Hahn got this offseason, would just, you know, not pan out. And suddenly, Adam Eaton's coming around a little bit, Melky's coming around a little bit. You still need some more out of LaRoche, obviously, but you know, you look at the American League now, and that wild card, Houston is the second wild card team, and they're plunging. It's not inconceivable, I think, to think that the White Sox could come back in the second half.
Well, we just talked about that, and I know you were in there when we were talking about it. They would have to win 62% of their games. They had to play a 6-18 pace, 47-29 to win 88 games. When 88 victories got you into the playoffs last year, do you think that you could see the Sox winning that often?
I don't know if that pace is – you're going to need that, to tell you the truth, because there's just too much parity this year. And if the second wild card team is only a few games over 500, which is the way it's looking right now, then maybe they won't have to play at that pace. I'm not saying they will do it because, you know, this is just one stretch out of the season, and, you know, it just took them a long time to get there. They had one other good one against, I think, Oakland and Milwaukee.
Right.
But, you know, it is just a small portion of the season. But, I mean, you see that pitching when all those four starters look that good and Danks has, you know, a good one, bad one, then it's doable.
Sully, the rumors are that American League East teams, Toronto, maybe Baltimore, they're interested in Samardzija. Mm-hmm. What type of return do you think we're talking about here? Because, you know, everyone's, should they or should they not? What do you think they're getting back? If you had to guess.
Just,
I know it's a guess.
I mean, it's just a two-month rental. Obviously, he's going free agent. No matter where he goes, he's going to declare for free agency. So you're not going to get the return that the Cubs got when they, you know, sold him last year with Hamill for Russell and McKinney and Dan Straley, was it? So I think you could still get a good prospect, but you're not going to get a haul like the Cubs did. So, you know, they have to juggle that. Is it worth it to trade him or just, you know, get the draft pick next year and, you know, go for it. You know, when they signed him or when they acquired him and signed all these other guys, I really thought, you know, it would boost their attendance, but it really hasn't. So, you know.
Paul Sullivan, Chicago Tribune baseball writer, and it hasn't helped their attendance. I think that's because of factors beyond any player's control, maybe any team's control. I don't know if there's ever going to be a team there that is going to pack the park in April and May. And it has been crummy weather, too. There are a lot of reasons, a lot of excuses that you could make for why the Sox aren't drawing.
It crummy weather for the Cubs, too. And they've drawn
That's true.
Fairly well.
There are some inherent advantages to playing at Clark and Addison. There's definitely, it's a destination. It's a tourist attraction. It's a lot of things that U.S. Cellular Field is not. And we could spend the next 2 hours and the next 2 weeks discussing that. But I think that when when we could sound a lot like Don Cooper, who complained publicly
like Don Cooper
about why the Sox fans won't support Chris Sale.
What did he say? I didn't see that.
Yeah, he said that a couple weeks ago, just on if it were in New York, you wouldn't see, 20,000 people out to see a guy like Chris Sale.
Yeah, it was disappointing when he went for the record and there was like 24,000 people.
When he faced Burley?
Yeah.
I mean,
that was amazing.
That's tough.
Chicago game.
That was a
beautiful night. And
beautiful night, great marquee matchup, disappointing turnout.
Yeah.
When you see the Sox play as well as they did in the first two games in front of a full house, do you wonder as a Sox fan, do you think Sox fans wonder, boy, is that edge that maybe you saw, is that because of the atmosphere?
Definitely, I mean, when we were waiting to go into Robin's office after the first game, and the waiting area is right above the concourse, and you could hear all the Sox fans in the concourse screaming, "Let's go Sox, let's go Sox." You would have thought you were at the Cell. They were just more pumped up to be there, and Sale said the other day, he was more hyped up in that game. He threw like 98, this first like three batters, every pitch almost was 98, 99. So Sox fans are out there, and they want to get involved. There's just something about the Cell that just doesn't appeal to them. I don't know if it's, we've argued it a million times as how it's hard to get to, or if it's the upper deck, or who knows what it is. But they're there, and they're paying attention. They're just not going to the game.
So you've covered every Cubs-Sox game, 100 of them now? I saw that in the paper yesterday.
Yeah, every one.
That was quite a feat.
I don't know. Maybe I should go to an institution after that. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's... I was going through all the old stories because we did a big Sunday takeout on the best moments, and I realized, well, I've been at every one of these either as a Sox writer or Cubs writer, and now as just a baseball writer.
Best moment of this weekend?
Oh man, I would have to say Sale's performance. I mean, it's almost expected that one run, 10 strikeouts, you just kind of shrug it off now, but it was an awesome.
You're going to remember this weekend for the Sale-Lester matchup and the way as dominant as Sale was.
I mean, as soon as Lester gave up those two runs right off the bat, you knew the game was over. It took the whole ballpark, all the Cubs fans at least, out of the game. Yesterday's game, same thing. Once Arrieta had that lead, you thought it was basically over. So...
Paul Sullivan in from the Chicago Tribune going to join us for another segment talking Cubs and Sox. Mark Carman is in for the Cabin. I want to ask you about what you think about Chris Sale pitching tomorrow night and what the obligation is for the Sox or any player going to the All-Star game to play or not to play. And secondly, which rotation you would rather have or have more confidence in going into the second half of the season, the Cubs or the Sox. Cap and Haw here on CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com.